Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today, you've probably seen around in Central Florida, usually around local events, pop-ups, corporate events, or weddings. It's one of the most unique photo booth experiences. It's more than just a photo booth. It's a party on wheels. Disco ball and all, please welcome the owner of the Van Cam, John McInerney. What's going on, John?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, man. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me during my lunch break. What's your usual go-to lunch or sandwich?
Gosh, probably a grilled cheese of sorts with added extras, meats and lots of vegetables. But I love a pressed sandwich.
Okay, I like that. I definitely like that. So tell people a little bit about the Van Cam. Give people a little bit like the origin. What made you decide to come up with this idea? And then kind of give people a little bit of a background story of what the Van Cam is.
So I had started a van club in Orlando back in 2014, just to bring together other people that were interested in old vans. I started out with a 91 Vanagon. It wasn't a camper. It was just a hard tin top Vanagon, the same one that's in the last season of Stranger Things. And, you know, I was learning about them. I didn't know much about old cars at the time. So I decided to start a club and bring together other people that I thought could, you know, teach me some stuff and I could just enjoy hanging out with. It was mostly about camaraderie. I'm really old school. In fact, it's hard to even get me to text or email. I just mostly talk to people on the phone. I mean, how many times did I reschedule with you to, you know, get me here right now, right? Just because it's technology and I hate it.
No, I get it, man. I get it. That's why I appreciate us being able to do this. Usually I probably would have said, hey, let's just do meet in person and do it. But I also know you're on the go quite a bit. So I figured this might be the easier route to go.
Thank you, guys. But yeah, with the club, I just started the van club. And that led into how can I do something. I was working a 9-to-5 job. And how can I do something to monetize this lifestyle I wanted to live other than an office life? And I was already a photographer. I was doing landscape photography in some street. So I thought, okay, well, I've seen these photo booth vans in other states. There's nothing like it here locally. Saw it as my opportunity window to go ahead and give it a shot. And it took me about a year side hustling it with the office job to get it to be full time. And I feel like I've just been living a dream, like not working a real job for a living ever since. It's still a lot of work.
You started it in 2017, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've always kind of been entrepreneurial though. Cause I think even in college, you ran some successful businesses like doing landscape and stuff like that, even during college, right?
It was a table tennis club. Yeah. UCF was the last university in Florida, a major university that didn't have a table tennis club and team. UF had one, Florida State, Miami, USF, North Florida, West Florida, even some small polytech schools down in Boca, but UCF didn't have one. And I was like, same thing with the Van Cam. I was like, jump on that right now before someone else does. Turns out when I went to go, when you start a club, you have to write a constitution. When I went to go turn it in at UCF, and you have to have 12 people sign off and willing to do it. Then there was another guy who had actually started a constitution and was getting ready to do the same thing. And so I got it in, I guess, weeks before him. He became vice president of the club and I was the president of it. It was just titles, you know, we're just all equal contributors to the club. Yeah. But that was my first endeavor into managerial type of life where I had to, you know, work with money, you know, apply for funds from the school to get equipment and traveling, practices set up, you know, just being organized and setting up other people to follow you. And that's what kind of led me. That was my first quote unquote business. In COVID, I flipped furniture. I was already doing the Van Cam, but that was shut down, obviously. So I flipped furniture and I was always from when I was a kid, my mom got me into garage selling and thrift stores. And so I'd always loved junk hunting and I flipped stuff as a, just for fun over the years. And then in COVID, man, I turned it up to full time and, never had to do any of the SBC loans or unemployment, like, you know, which I'm very thankful for, managed to do it all with that.
We, So a few things kind of having to do with like the van cam. So obviously, at what point since you kind of were doing it, like you were working the full-time job and then you were also kind of, you know, the side hustle to save money and all that stuff. At what point did in the process between full-time to saying, hey, I'm going to quit full-time and make van cam full-time, what was there like a moment or something that happened that kind of was like, this is it. Like this is what I got to be doing. Or was it just a kind of a gradual thing where all of a sudden it was like supply and demand? Like it was like, I just don't have enough time to do, you know, to be able to do all these events and things like that. What was kind of the evolution or I guess the progression to kind of make that call of like, I don't want this corporate life. I want to do the van life.
It was a little bit of, I didn't know where it would leave me when I started it. I didn't know how much it would take off. And I mean, that was my hope in my head, but I was in a comfortable position and in a comfortable job. It wasn't fulfilling a deep down desire in my life. And that's why I think that's why anybody starts a side hustle is because something's missing. Right. So I started doing it. And after about a year, I was like, you know, I didn't set a goal. I didn't set a 12-month period or a 6-month period to let's get out of this. I just started looking at, you know, okay, well, I've got enough to pay my bills now with this other thing. So I started to ease out of it at that point. And it was just, that was how the timing worked out for me.
Yeah. Are you mechanical? Like, are you, I mean, obviously with like, I know the idea of the vans, like, are you into car mechanics and all that stuff?
I'm more of a design and a big picture person. A little bit, yes. Cause it requires it in a small sense, at least, you know, oil changes, spark plugs, tune-ups, that kind of thing. But as far as the major stuff goes, could I take a stab at it and knock something out that a mechanic could do in a few hours? It'd take me a few days. Yeah. But I try and spend most of my time doing things that evolutionize the business. And my dad taught me, you know, he was a businessman too. He taught me that, you know, your time's the most valuable thing you have, not money. So, you know, I'm more than happy to have somebody do something for me if it frees up my time. And then I take that same amount of time to save me and use it to go produce, you know, create or build upon what I've already got going. And I've really found that principle something that helps me through life every day. I mean, I think about it all the time. I mention it now and this with you, and I talk to it with people when I'm just talking about their business, or, you know, when people ask me about the van just face to face, I say, you know, I just, time's the most valuable thing, and keep hammering away at the big long-term goals you have.
No, I love that. I think that's super smart. That's why I'm always curious about stuff like that when you're like, when you're dealing with like anyone who's dealing with like some kind of automobile, like food truck, anything like that. Like, are there certain levels? Cause you got to have some levels of, you know, to be able to kind of handle it. Cause if not, it kind of puts you in a bind. I know you started, from what I recall, or from what I've researched, when you started in 2017, you started with like a 73, and now I think now you're with like a 78 Volkswagen van. Is that right?
Yeah. I started with a 73 that was purple and white. It's my very first post on Instagram. And, it was actually a nice van. I got it out of Colorado. I had it shipped here. It was automatic, which can be problematic because there's not a lot of parts for them. There was not a lot of them made. That's the main reason why I switched over to what I have. The second reason why I switched over to what I have is the aesthetic of the orange and beige van that I have now, the linoleum floor and the curtains on the window, and it's very 70s. Is it just fit the modern day vibe, so to speak, of what people, myself included, are looking for in vintage vans? The other one was just kind of, you know, it felt like a party bus, and there's a need for party buses too, but that's not what I was going for. I wanted it to fit a wedding aesthetic, a photo shoot aesthetic, but also still be retro. And you know, like, so can I bring something to a wedding that is also 70s and have it still be, you know, cute? The trend with these things around the country is painted a pastel color, put Home Depot wood laminate down, maybe a Mylar backdrop inside, and it's a photo booth van. I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be original, but not be goofy. The purple and white one was I stepped back from it and I was like, you know, this got me started, and people love VW buses no matter what color, but this one I got now is better. And it was just a little bit more dialed in for what I was going with.
So I always like to try to give some backstory of how I kind of met. I believe you and I met or saw each other probably at one of the indie markets.
Yes.
And you were set up, you know, probably near the bar area. I think it was maybe a Tuffy's or something like that, or it may have even been across like in DeLands near Persimmons Hollow or something like that.
We both,
Tell people a little bit about an experience. Like, so obviously, you know, if they do an event, they have the photo booth, they have the van so they could do the photo booth. But if you're at a pop-up, what's usually kind of like, you know, give people a little bit of a description of, and obviously you've already described what the inside of the van is, but how you kind of have it set up. Cause I think it's a cool feature. The fact of like, you know, you get to go in, you get to go do photo shoots. Some of the places are smart. And I think that's kind of one of the good things, inviting you, and you kind of make it very smart in the marketing aspect of it, where the photo strip actually will have sometimes some of the images of like the event that they're at. So right. It's like a great thing for a great advertisement for like for you and for the event. Tell people a little bit about that kind of like thought process of when you're doing these events. And then at the same time, what they should expect if they were to come across the van cam to be able to, you know, say, hey, I want to take pictures.
I'm very lucky because I get to do something that makes me happy, that also makes people happy too, for what I do now as a job. And it's, of course I can do, you know, I do my own logo on the strips at public events. Obviously, if I'm going to do a wedding for somebody or a corporate event, I'm going to put theirs on it. You know, they're hiring me, but, you know, or if I just believe in the cause of the public event, or they need a little boost, their community driven, type of endeavor, then I'll go ahead and put their logo on the strips too. I need to, you know, make money and do my own thing and stay supported as well. So I'll do mine too, but, I'm just very fortunate. I never take it for granted that I get to do something that I, that makes people happy. You know, it's not even about the photo strip. It's about, you know, being around VW buses in general boost people's morale. I mean, there is not a single event I go to that people don't come up to me and say, you know, I used to have one of these, or my parents had one, or, and that's great. And, a lot of times they're not even interested in taking a photo strip, but just getting something out in front of people, injecting that into the atmosphere of what you're doing and boosting people's morale. It's like when they go away from you, now they've got a little bit of extra spring in their step.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I love seeing people. They love it because you also have some props. So it's like, you know, it's like a great memory. It's a great thing if they wanted to do that or just go in and take some fun pictures. It's such a unique idea, at least in Central Florida. Now, I know, like you said, you were first to kind of do it in Central Florida. Let's talk a little bit about competition. Obviously, yeah. More people saw it. They love this idea. If you go online and you start looking, you'll see other places like that. Talk a little bit about how obviously the level of competition, and what are things that you kind of have to then kind of take into account to try to, you know, be the van, you know, that everyone wants to go and rent and use.
Well, the biggest competition is DJs and photographers, because they all can bring a photo booth too if they want to add on for, you know, for a wedding client or a corporate client. At a very discounted rate, because they're already there anyway doing their other things. So it's kind of like an add-on. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a smart business move.
Yeah.
It just makes me have to work harder and stand out more and analyze my price point to be like, you know, is this still cutting edge of where I need to be as from a price standpoint, and also cool aesthetic. Evolving, staying modern, staying relevant to people, that it's because there's always going to be somebody new and has a new idea that may even be different, cooler than a VW photo booth van in the future. So I've got a couple other things I'm working on actually to stay ahead of that. And
it's awesome.
You'll come. Yeah. You'll see that later on this year, actually probably by summer this year.
Okay.
So I mean, you got to be creative. You know how that is.
For sure, man. For sure. So would you say, like, where obviously word of mouth is great, and then, like, was it one of those things where, because obviously, like I told you, I met you at a, like an indie market. Was that one of those things where you were like, hey, you started reaching out to some of these indie markets? They were reaching, I'm assuming it was kind of a mix, like you may have reached out to some may have reached out to you, because obviously when you're there, you get like, you know, a good surge of people that now get to know who you are and see you around, and you really do make it a point to be in a lot of different places. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, I do. I have to. I search for events, like I search for that item you're looking for on Marketplace. I've made a lot of relationships with people that way. I'm fortunate because there's not a lot of other photo booth vans or photo booths in general at public markets that, so it's an opportunity for me. It's not like jewelry or flowers or food where it's like, you're just one in a bunch of other ones. So
yeah,
that just happened to work out in my favor automatically. But, you know, you still have to provide a good product. You still have to be something interesting. I don't get admitted to everything I apply for, but, and some of them have reached out to me too, you know, like, hey, we're looking, we've seen what you're done. We're looking for something unique to add to our event. And, especially if it's up and coming too. And that's when I offer to like put their logo on the strips too, and try and get them, you know, some more, so we can work together. So if I can help them be promoted, then they can grow. And that way I can have a place I can continue to go to and help me. So
yeah, we don't know. That makes total sense. That makes total sense. I know some would say that, okay, so when you decided to do this, I'm always kind of curious, because you said your dad was like, you know, kind of gave you a lot of insight in business. I'm assuming he was one of your inspirations for like being a little bit more entrepreneurial. Did you have some people that kind of thought like, hey, John, I think you're a little crazy thinking of doing something like this? Or was it, you know what I mean? Like sometimes when you're taking a risk and starting something like this, you know, a business, you know, while owning a business, can you talk a little bit about those, having to make those uncomfortable decisions sometimes, or making that leap to be like, hey, I think I need to be able to take that leap and over and take a risk on myself?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I felt confident about it because there were other photo booth vans around the country. I've seen the success they had had from a marketability standpoint. I didn't know idea what their numbers are. I still have no idea what anybody's numbers are, like if they're doing it as a side hustle or full time. You know, but they're in most major markets have one. Kansas City was one of the original ones. Dallas, Nashville, LA, Boston. I mean, most major markets have one of these things. So that gave me a lot of confidence. But I don't know. I mean, I presume that many of them are, it's like, you know, it's their side endeavor, but they still have another job. It's like something they do for fun because they have this van anyway. And hey, why not let it make some money for us? But yeah, me, I just I like photography and I like vans so much that I'm like, you know, yeah, I could have a job and do this on the side, but if I really work at it and hustle at it, then I could just do this. And that's what I've made with it, you know? So not sure what they're doing, but that's what I'm doing.
It doesn't matter what they're doing. I know that. So a few things about the van I'm kind of curious about. So how far, what's like the furthest you've traveled the van camp to do an event?
I went to Fort Myers with it.
Okay.
Jacksonville many times for wedding venues up there. And gosh, where's one I did in Clearwater, Melbourne, probably by mileage, the furthest was the Fort Myers event.
Yeah.
Grand. I don't know if Boca Grande's, without looking on the map, is that's further than Fort Myers, but, Boca Grande's got a pretty impressive resort down there and went down there for a few years ago.
That's awesome. You, before we started, you kind of started telling a story, and I am kind of curious when it comes, because when you're dealing with like vintage or older vehicles, obviously it's kind of, that's got to be very difficult in the sense of, you know, parts and getting parts, and it must be like almost like you're constantly I always tell people, like I jokingly told the folks at Beefy King, I was like, hey, do you have like a storage unit that just has leftover like chairs and stuff like that? Because if something breaks, it's not like you're going to be able to just go to a store and find it. So I'm kind of curious, like, do you have something like that? Like, do you have like a section in your house or apartment, like, or somewhere where you're like, I have extra parts. I have extra parts for my car. If I find them, just because God forbid. I mean, I know there was a lot of, VW vans, but God forbid you have an issue with it.
That's another really good question. I would certainly think that if I was learning about these things too and watching somebody do it. So because VW vans are so popular again, American entrepreneurship, here you go. So there's people who took notice of that and remanufactured the parts because there's a market for it, which is smart. And it helps everybody, helps them, helps people like me that own them buy parts. And so thankfully for me, yeah, there's a lot of different resources. There's several locally. A lot of them I don't even have to ship off eBay or market, look for. I can get them locally with Triangle. It's in Winter Park, Florida. Also a mom and pop, kind of like Cappy's or what you were mentioning with the, but yeah, it's an old school. There's a lot of old school places that have the parts. And of course online, there's probably a half a dozen right now I can think of just alone that, that are good resources for it.
And And obviously I wish I was recording, so I'm going to make you repeat the story, even though we didn't record. So like you actually right now, from where we're talking, you actually had to drive up to Savannah because one mm-hmm. of the difficult parts of the van is the fact that it's like 14 inch tires. And you were talking about like they were commercial grade. Like, so can you talk a little bit about that? Because those are obviously other parts that you kind of have to deal with or figure out. And then obviously travel to go get parts and stuff like that for the van.
Yeah. I mean, I could answer that question in 2 minutes or 10 seconds. You know, it just depends on how much you think this stuff is interesting, but I'll give you in the middle of it. So,
okay.
Yeah, the van's got 14 inch wheels stock. Doesn't mean you have to have 14 inch wheels. That's just what they came with. They're steel and they take the chrome hubcap that goes over the steel wheel that has VW. It's what makes mm-hmm. VWs cool. Now, you can put 15 inch rims on it without altering the wheel at all, as long as it has the same lug pattern. That opens up a world of finding tires much easier than 14 inch tires. But I like the aesthetic of the 14 inch wheel because it's original. To this travel for me today was twofold. One, it was a cool town that they had it available in. So I'm like, it was worth the drive for that sense, spend the night up here and then go back. And two, the tires were brand new. On aluminum alloy, 14 inch wheels, minor steel. So it's kind of an upgrade. I'm upgrading in my personal taste, aesthetic, but still keeping it in that form factor that's original 14 inch and gaining four new tires for it because I needed new tires anyway. So all this stuff factored in made it a decision to go.
No, man, I think that's great. You kind of have to go searching for stuff like that when you have, and if you can make it a getaway a little bit as well. Cause I know that you're putting in quite a bit of time and if it's not, worrying about the van, let's talk about that. Like when it comes to something, a business like yours, it's almost similar to what a food truck would be in the sense that if your food truck breaks down, you can't serve. And I know there was a one point when you and I were talking that your current van cam had an issue and you actually had to figure out like, how am I gonna do this? I got events going on. And then figure out and that's kind of the idea of also where, it all kind of sticks together. The fact of the community aspect of it, you built a community when you started the van club. And then I'm assuming that community still kind of helps and you can kind of, sometimes push back it, go into and be like, hey, community, I need help. My van's out and I need a van to be able to use for an event. Can you talk a little bit about that? The importance of community. Yeah. And how you've had to kind of sometimes lean and towards with some of that van community for help.
So this will be one of your juiciest answers here. So the van has been wrecked a couple times. And most recently it was down for 4 months. Somebody ran a light, hit me. I had to wait while the van got fixed. So a guy in the community I met when I started the van club actually rented me his van for that 4 month period while they fixed mine, which was one of the nicest things anybody's ever done. I was well prepared for him to say, no, that's asking a little much, and I thought I was going to have to cancel events, refund people. He stepped up and really helped me out, which, I'm very thankful for. And, that's one big aspect of the community. Others is just people I've met that have taught me what to look for with it. I may not be able to fix every problem with it. I can do the minimal stuff, the tune-up stuff, but At least I know what to look for. Keep my eye on it. If I do think a breakdown's about to happen or coming soon because of some signals I'm seeing, I've got three different people that I've made friends with over the years by not even the business sense, but just from fan club sense back in the day. And I don't have to go to a shop where I may not even know the person. I've got a relationship with three different friends already. So it helps them. They help me. I love the sense of like the small business atmosphere where we're all just helping one another do what we like to do and support ourselves. And yeah. I'm happy to play a part in that, you know?
No, man, I think that's great. I appreciate that. And I love that. I think that's like one of the biggest things that I enjoy about, you know, doing markets and doing those things, that building that community.
You embody that. You really
Thanks,
do.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I love the fact that there's people that are actually also, you know, because you could be that way, but at the same time, it's great to be able to see people that feel that same way. Like the person that actually let you, you know, kind of, even though you know, have you have the van for a few months to be able to kind of work those events. What do you think has been the hardest part? Besides obviously the COVID years, because I know you had to obviously create something totally different to do Hustle and everything like that during those years. But these past 7 years, what do you think has been the hardest thing for you with the business?
Well, you know, when you work for yourself, you are your own search engine, your own mechanic. Even if you're not doing all of the wrenching, you're still the lead mechanic that tells the other ones what to do. You're the one-stop source for everything. That's challenging. Getting up every day and figuring out how am I producing income? You know, where is it going to come from and what different areas and who do I need to speak to this day to make it work? What deadlines are approaching? You know, every day I've got probably 10 alerts on my phone that go off for this or that thing, even little things. You know, just like, hey, don't forget to follow up with a lead. So it trying to stay organized, that's probably one of the biggest challenges actually. Yeah. And trying to stay organized, not breaking down, staying relevant, which isn't too hard. You know, VWs are, I don't know if they'll ever go out of style. And the other thing that's nice about them too is no matter what condition they're in, they're cool. So yeah. I've had fresh, shiny paint coats on my van before, and I've had rust and equally got the same amount of compliments.
That's crazy. Do you have another car besides the van?
I have a Honda CRV. Yep.
Okay, good. I just was curious about, I was like, if you're using it for as many events, then obviously you're in it quite a bit, but I was like, I wonder if he has something other than that. Okay. And then since we're talking VW, what are your thoughts on the new VW that's coming out? It's not, I forget what it's called. It's like, I forget the name of the new VW bus that's coming out. That's all electric and everything. I've always been obsessed with them, like with the VW buses or like VW thing. I loved all those things. So like I've been watching it. I don't know if I'd get one, but I probably would like one if I maybe would almost consider it, but I kind of want to know your thoughts, like what you've looked into it or what your thoughts are. Do you think that people would actually want to go towards that avenue for a possible future version of Van Cam? You know, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, as the first question, the CRV, that's actually what I took up here. Cause if I drove the van every day, everywhere, I would probably be spending more money on it, keeping it going. Right. But I spend money on the CRV too. So does it all equal out? I don't know. And I have to pay insurance on the CRV and all this. But that being said, I like air conditioning, so I drive the CRV. So let me see. The Buzz, the VW Buzz.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I've seen the picture. I've seen the concepts of it. You know, for the past 4 years, they keep saying this is the year it's coming out. And there's more talk about it this year than any other year. So maybe this is going to be the year. The concepts of it to me, you know, I was funny. I was talking with a guy about this a few weeks ago and I said, it kind of looks like a giant Scion, like it, you know, or the Nissan Cube or something. It does have a rounded windshield. But it looks so futuristic that it almost doesn't look like a bus. And, it's got the air vents on the back, which cool the engine. All VW buses have that. So that's kind of, it's cool they have some features of it that are vintage. I like the air vents on the back. I like that it is still a camper van, you know, like the camper edition. If you've seen concepts of that, you can sleep in it and has different gadgets to make living on the road a little easier. So that's cool. But aesthetic wise, I was a little let down. I've seen people take buses like mine and convert them to electric, which costs an arm and a leg, but it's really cool. And I don't know, I was just hoping it would have a little, you know, round headlights would have been a great thing to add to it. Cause the thing about the VW bus is it looks like a face smiling at you.
Yeah.
Several cars have that look, but especially VW buses have that look. Yeah. And it's got to have round headlights, in my opinion, to look like a real face looking at you and happy, or, you know, just something with a personality. So where did it land for me? Probably 7 out of 10.
Okay. And I'm hoping future iterations of it makes it almost they're able to figure out like a middle ground of like future and vintage, kind of like a blend of it is what I'm hoping for. I don't know if we'll see it, but I've always had a thing for the Volkswagen van, or just Volkswagens in general. So it's, I was excited about it, and I saw it was weird because from what I've seen is like things like you can make it anyway, you know, you can almost like move things around and whatever. And like, there's all these like different features to it, which does kind of remind me of like a Honda Pilot or a Honda Element where it's like open and that open, but instead of it being round, it was more square, which I'm surprised that one's gone, but you know,
I love that vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that was actually, I love that thing, you know?
Yep. That was actually something I wanted when I was going to go look for a car, and they just don't make them anymore. And then I ended up with a Honda Pilot, but I was going to get like a Honda. That's what I wanted. Cause I was like, this would be great for events. Throw all my stuff in there and get space. What I want. You know, it worked out, but yeah, no, now I have I love my car though. So it's fine. What advice would you have for someone to want to start something?
Take the first step. That's the biggest thing is, you know, a house of cards is built with the first level. And I think people have this expectation that they're supposed to go from zero to hero in 30 days. And it really is just a long, slow journey. If it takes 2 years to be able to step away from your job, then so be it. But you got to get started though. You have to have a starting point, and you also have to do it for, you really have to love it. You know, that, like I tell people, I give the food industry all the credit in the world, like, cause it takes so much work and so much licensing and regulation and stuff. And I was like, man, you really got to love food to have this kind of a life. It's a lot of work. And they do. So, I mean, for me, I drive a van with no AC. You're always nervous about it, something happening to it when you're driving it. And it ain't the safest thing in the world either. You know, there's no front end to it, no airbags. So you really got to love what you do with this too. And you have to continually provide a good product so you don't let people down. That's the thing is, I just came back from an event in Miami a few weeks ago, and there was a sign in the lobby. We were at a pizzeria on our way home, and the sign said, McDonald's can let you down time after time and you still go back to them, but a small business owner can let you down one time and you never forget it. Exactly. And I was like, that's sad but true. I have this somewhat of a weight on my shoulder of continually trying to make people so impressed with the product. And granted, I'm glad that they believe in me and what I'm doing, but you have to continue. I'll say it again, you have to continue to evolve and stay current with what is interesting, relevant, and stimulating to people to want to take a chance on and spend a few bucks with you or hire you for an event or whatever it is. And makes you work. It brings the best out of you. It makes you want to work. It makes you work hard and do a good job for them.
Yeah, no, I definitely, great advice. Where can people follow you? And most of all, how can they book, if they wanted to book the van cam at for their event, go inside and take some photos?
Well, Instagram, that's my main thing. Just like most of us nowadays, that's my digital business card in life. That's got my whole portfolio of most of our work we've done in there. Although I'm not really great with the reels. I need, because again, I have a photography background and I'm good at impactful photos and then writing a really quick blurb or story about it, either one. So I want to get good on the videos. That's the thing right now. And that's part of evolving. Yeah. And plus they are fun to watch. So yeah, Instagram, that's my main thing. Or shoot me an email. I have to rebuild my website right now. So actually Instagram is my website at the moment.
Yeah. And your Instagram, even though it'll be in the show notes, but as you're going in and looking at it, it's at the.vancam.
That's right.
Is the Instagram for it. John, I really appreciate your time, man. I absolutely love what you're doing. Hence the reason I've been wanting to chat with you and kind of share your story, just because I just think it's a very cool idea. And it's one of those things where you probably get a lot of people like, oh, wow, I never would have thought of this, or, oh, why didn't I think of this? You know, and it's always one of those, that I always appreciate because, you know, sometimes when you're the first, and you're doing it right, you know, it means a lot when people realize and acknowledge those things. And I think you're doing a great job. I'm definitely looking forward. Obviously my episodes are evergreen. So whenever you listen to this, hopefully it'll be around the same time that you'll, you know, in the future, John will have unveiled some other future sure. projects that he's going to be working on there that you'll be able to probably see at the VanCam, or in other areas on his website when you go on there. So, John, I really appreciate it. That's our show for today. Thank you so much to John McInerney of the VanCam for being on, having lunch with me. Definitely make sure to check them out. If you're at an event, you know, by all means, definitely go take some photos, go talk to John. It's always a pleasure to kind of have a few minutes to chat with him when we see each other. Make sure if you like the episode, make sure to subscribe. Check out the amazing guests and small businesses that I have on my show. If you want to support me, check out my brand, Deli Fresh Threads, sandwich selfies, order up, you know, treat yourself or treat someone else. Thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion.
Thanks, Biggie.